strength. Very shortly, God shall be appearing to someone right now. If you are the person, your amen will be the loudest. It is what God reveals to you that reveals you to your world. What God shows to you turns you to a show. But when it comes to God's appearance, it is personal. In 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 21, I don't know how many people were there at Shiloh at that moment. But the Bible says, the Lord appeared again in Shiloh. For the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. I want to ask, who is the Samuel that God shall be appearing to right now? Therefore, we shall be rising to register our presence before God, asking him to appear to us. Hannah prayed personally, and God appeared to her personally through Eli. Are you ready for God's appearance? Rise with me right now. Lift up your voice. God of Shiloh, appear to me right now. I'm not waiting for the next word. I am ready for your appearance right now. Visit with me like you visited Sarah right now. Is God hearing your voice? Somebody be desperate. Be fervent. Be very intentional. I am the Samuel you must appear to. I am the Sarah you must visit. And that is by your word right now. Thank you, Father. Lift your voice. Raise your hand. Give thanks to God. This prayer is answered in Jesus' awesome name. That amen can be the loudest amen. Bringing us the first word this morning is God's servant, a resident pastor in the Faith Tabernacle, Pastor David Oyedepo Jr. Give Jesus a big hand as we receive the word.
Hallelujah. Shall we lift our hands to heaven this morning and let's give glory to God one more time from the depth of our hearts for the privilege and the blessing of being in his presence this morning. Lord, I've come today to give thanks and praise to your name. Thank you for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you are set to do. Accept our thanksgiving. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. Lord Jesus, we thank you today for the blessing and the privilege that you have given us to be in your presence this morning. On this fourth day, here at Shiloh, we ask that you will send us light. Let your word transform each one of our lives. Open our eyes to the tables of the covenant. In the precious name of Jesus Christ. Somebody believe, say loud, amen. Give Jesus a big hand of praise and please, you may be seated in his presence. Shiloh 2022 and Covenant Highways. I want to give glory to God this morning for the privilege granted to me to stand upon this altar. I also want to thank God for my father, God's servant, the apostle over this commission, Bishop David Oyedepo, who God has used to shape me in every way, shape, and form. The truth is this, I'm a product of his instructions and a product of his examples. And I believe God that whatever that God has used him to deposit in my life, a few of those God will release in our direction. Somebody believe, say loud, amen. This morning, my assignment is on the subject of the covenant of success. The covenant of success. Somebody here is going to be a super success.
Someone who is here at Shiloh 2022 is imagining a super success. If you are the one, say a louder amen. Now, success is the heritage of every child of God. Deuteronomy chapter 28 and verse 13, he said, you shall be above only, you shall not be beneath. You shall be the head and you shall not be the tail. If this means that as far as God is concerned, failure or mediocrity has no place among kingdom entities. Isaiah chapter 60 verse 22, the Bible says, a little one shall become a thousand, and a small one will become a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in his time. In fact, the end time church is ordained to succeed where previous generations failed. Isaiah 61 and verse 4, the Bible tells us there, look at this closely. It says that they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. I have good news for somebody hearing me this morning. Where others failed, you will succeed. If you believe it, say louder, amen. I said, where others failed, you will succeed. And that is because the ordination of God is for the end time church to be an exhibition of his glory. 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, you are a chosen generation, you are a royal priesthood, you are a holy nation, you are a peculiar people to show forth the praises of him that has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. So everyone that is a child of God is ordained to be a wonder to the world. For somebody hearing me this morning, you are emerging from Shiloh 2022 as a wonder to your world. And like we have been told by prophecy, the end time church is a church of giants. That means men and women of renown. In Psalm 81, verse 5, down to verse 7, we have the picture painted to us so clearly. It says there, verse 5 to 7. It tells us there, it says that it shall be said of Zion, this and that man was born in her, and the highest himself shall establish her. It means the names of these last days, the individuals that will be generational shakers will be emerging from the church of Christ. And I believe that there are such individuals represented here this morning. If you believe that you are one of them, say louder, amen. But success is not accidental. No one succeeds by accident. No one succeeds by chance. Hear this and hear it very well. Luck is the excuse of failures. It is individuals that have embraced failure and mediocrity that explain success as luck. Everyone that is enjoying success in the kingdom is complying with certain specific covenant demands. And that is why it becomes important for us to position ourselves appropriately in order to align with the demands of the covenant that are behind God's success plan ordained for the end time church. And that's going to be our focus in this teaching this morning. Now, what are the demands of the covenant of success? What are the demands of the covenant of success? And we are going to be extracting these from the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 10. We'll read a few verses from verse 5 to 10 and then also verse 15 to 18. It says in Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 5, there is an evil which I have seen under the sun, an error which proceeded from the ruler. What is it? He said, folly is set in great dignity, and the rich sit in low places. He says, I have seen servants on horses, and princes walking as servants upon the earth. He said, he that diggeth the pit shall fall into it, and whosoever breaketh the edge, the serpent will bite. So all of the errors that are described are the product of the breaking of the edge, the breaking of certain specific covenants. Now, what does he say? He that removes stones shall be hurt therewith, and he that cleaveth wood shall be endangered thereby. Now, verse 10, he says, if the iron be blunt, and he do not whet the edge, then must he put forth more strength. But wisdom is profitable to direct. Let's jump to verse 15. It says, the labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them, because he knoweth not how to go to the city. It says, woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child, and when thy princes eat in the morning. It says, blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is a son of the nobles, and thy princes eat bread in due season for strength and not for drunkenness. And verse 18, by much slothfulness the building decayeth, through the idleness of hands the house droppeth through. From these passages of scripture, we are going to be extracting the details of the covenant of success. What are the details of that covenant? Number one is direction. Direction. He said wisdom is profitable to direct. Success commences from the foundation of direction. Success commences from the foundation of direction. Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 17. He said, I'm the Lord your God that teacheth thee to profit. I'm the Lord that leadeth thee in the way that thou shouldest go. And verse 21, they thirsted not when he led them by the desert. He caused the waters to flow out of the rock. He clave the rock also, and the waters gushed out. When one goes as led by God, he's bound to stand out in life. The key to standing out is being led by God. When God is the one directing your steps, you end up an individual on the cusp of success. So success occurs for you and I at the instance of direction. And that is why the word of God tells us in the book of Proverbs 3, verse 5 and verse 6, he said, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And what will he do? He will direct thy steps. He will direct thy steps. He will direct thy steps. So direction is our heritage in redemption, and it is the pathway to experiencing the success that God has ordained for us. If you look at the scripture in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 19, it said, the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. So the world is waiting for the sons of God to manifest. Is somebody here going to manifest? Say with me, I will manifest. Say louder, I will manifest. Lift your hand and say the loudest, I will manifest. But what is the prerequisite for this manifestation of the sons of God? Verse 14, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So it is the leading of the Spirit that brings about the manifestation of the sons. Until we are led by the Spirit, we cannot lead in our world. For anyone to emerge as a success in this kingdom, there is a demand for direction from the Spirit of God. This is so vital and so important. And why is this so critical? Because not every open door is God's door. Many of them are traps in disguise. So many people are jumping into opportunities and damaging destiny. It is not every door that opens that is God's door. This is so important and this is so vital. We must recognize that And this is one of the guards, the safeguards that will protect us in the journey of life. God's servant, our father, has said over the years that life is a wildlife park. There are dangers lurking in every corner. And that is why we need the guidance of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 and 10. It said, eye had not seen, ear had not heard, it has not entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love him. He has ordained them to be living wonders, but his Spirit shall reveal them unto us, because his Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. John chapter 16, verse 12 and 13, Jesus speaking, he said to us there, he said, there are many things I want to say to you, but you are not able to bear them. How be it? When the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things that are to come. So don't jump at every opportunity so as not to damage destiny. Follow the leading of the Spirit of God. This is a critical demand for success. There are so many great destinies that have been written off into mediocrity and failure because of absence of connectivity to divine direction. This is a critical demand. I pray that for each one of us upon this mountain of Shiloh, our spiritual ears and our spiritual eyes will be opened afresh. It's important that we are reminded that it is those who can hear what others cannot hear and that can see what others cannot see that will stand where others cannot stand. So it is the direction of God that provokes the elevation of man. The direction of God. The direction of God. In this part of the world, for example, here right in Nigeria, you discover there is a movement many of us who are youth here know. They call it Japa. People running out of the country just anyhow, thinking that they are saved, salvaging destiny, but for many they are damaging destiny. Individuals who should be high flyers, kings, are now found in low places. Individuals who should be princes riding on horses, they are now walking on foot as servants. Destiny written off. Why? Because running into open doors seemingly that end up damaging destiny. Please hear this and hear it very well. If God is leading you, even in the desert, you cannot suffer. It doesn't matter what the terrain looks like. The terrain is not what defines your experience. He said, he detested not when he led them through the desert. The number one risk in the desert is test. Because you are always going to find yourself vulnerable to overheating, dehydration. But he said when God was the one leading, the condition was not their personal situation. Because he was the one guiding them. For somebody here today, by the encounter you are having this morning, the God of this commission will begin to guide your steps. Number two thing we discover in the covenant of success is know-how. The know-how. And we see this in verse 15 of that Ecclesiastes chapter 10. It said, the labor of the foolish wearieth every one of them because he does not know how to go to the city. He doesn't have the know-how. He doesn't have the know-how. He doesn't have the know-how. The know-how here refers to the working knowledge or the skill for a thing. It's important for us to understand that we must cultivate our capacity by commitment to development. If anyone will be a success, they must cultivate the capacity, the potentials within them to make themselves candidates for the success that God has ordained for them. We look at two examples from scriptures. First of all, the example of Jesus. In the book of Luke chapter 2 verse 40, the Bible says, and the child grew, and he waxed strong in spirit, filled with the wisdom of God, and the grace of God was upon him. The child grew. Jesus was not, he didn't come to the earth as a full-grown man. And he didn't come to the earth with full-blown capacity. He came in seed form. He came as a child. And he grew into what God had ordained him for. There is a demand for development. There is a demand for building the know-how in any area of endeavor where God has sent you. The Bible tells us in the second example here, the example of David. Psalm 78, verse 70 to 72. Look at what the Bible tells us about David. He said, and he chose David also his servant, and took him from the sheepfolds. He said, and from following ewes, great with young, and he brought him to feed Jacob his people, and Israel his inheritance. And verse 72. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart, and he guided them according to the skillfulness of his hand. Capacity. Developing capacity. We must understand that if success will be a reality, then capacity development is a necessity. Developing our potentials, cultivating the know-how, is a critical demand for success. It's a critical demand for success. God's servant, our father, has shared this story many times. He said he discovered that he was weak as a young boy with communication. He said, so he took off time and began to read and document things on various writers, just trying to sharpen his communication over one holiday season. By the time he returned back to school, communication has changed level. You see, the truth is that the tomorrow that anyone is expecting requires that there is preparation going on to today. Please hear this. Tomorrow will not be different from today if something different is not done today for tomorrow. This is so important. Everyone who can see a tomorrow does something with that tomorrow today. It is the preparation of today that becomes the creation of tomorrow. This is so important. So there must be the cultivation of our capacity by developing know-how. That requires that we are reading all that is required, necessary, you know, materials from proven authors that will help us in the area of our need. That requires that we are examining ourselves, discovering whatever gaps may exist in our current development in order to ensure that we are moving from one level to the other. The Bible says, let us examine ourselves to see whether we are in the faith. He said, or know ye not your own selves, except you be reprobates. 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5. So there is a requirement for each one of us to be committed to examining ourselves. We are also told in 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 15, he says, study to show yourself approved. If you are going to have proofs, then you must commit yourself to study. Developing yourself. Cultivating the know-how. Number three key for us, if we are going to keep with the demands of the covenant of success, is discipline. Say with me, discipline. Say it louder, discipline. Now, in that same Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 16 and 17, look at what the word of God says. He said, woe to thee, O land, when thy king is a child, and when thy princes eat in the morning. And verse 17, but blessed art thou, O land, when thy king is the son of the nobles, and thy princes eat in due season for strength and not for drunkenness. You see, the covenant of success demands that you and I adhere to the way of discipline. What is discipline? It is being able to distinguish between the lawful and the expedient. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23. It says there, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. It is not everything that is available that is necessary. We must be able to distinguish between the lawful and the expedient. We must be able to distinguish between the available and the one that is necessarily obtainable. This is critical. It is being able to distinguish this that positions you and I for success. What is discipline? It is the capacity to restrain desires and delay gratification. The capacity to restrain desires and delay gratification. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. He said, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient. All things are lawful, but I will not be brought under the power of any. I will not be a slave by anything. You must know, and I must know, how to restrain desires and delay gratification. That is discipline. God's servant, our father, has said over the years that discipline is the control valve of destiny. It is the control valve of destiny. How great a destiny becomes is defined by how disciplined that life has become. And discipline covers various areas of life. I'll give us a few of them. One, you must discipline time. You must discipline time. Time is a resource of equal availability. It is a currency of the Spirit, available to every one of us, but it requires wise allocation to provoke right manifestation. Wise allocation. Psalm 90 verse 12, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Time is a currency. You can spend it or you can invest it. Investing time creates greatness in destiny. Spending time depletes greatness in destiny. Time. We must discipline our time. We must discipline our time. We must discipline our time. For the youth who are here, you can't spend the whole day watching series. You find individuals sitting down there 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, watching series. Sitting down on Netflix from morning till night. Your debt are finished. You bought more with the money you don't have. That is lack of discipline of time. Discipline time. Number two, discipline test. Discipline test. What's discipline test? Your taste must be appropriately disciplined. Proverbs 23 and verse 2. The Bible tells us there. Proverbs 23 and verse 2. It said there, and put a knife to thy throat if thou be a man given to appetite. There are some people that everything they like. They like everything. Not everything good for you tomorrow is good for you today. Like your level, and God will change your level. This is so important. Like it. Discipline test. Discipline test. Number three, discipline thoughts. Not every thought is permissible. That is why we are told we must guard our hearts with all diligence, because out of it are the issues of life. The thoughts of a man are the products of that man tomorrow. In fact, put it this way, man's mind is life's factory. Man's mind is life's factory. Whatever comes out of the mind is what ultimately comes out of the life. Disciplined thoughts. That's why the Word of God gives us a syllabus for thinking. Philippians 4 verse 8. A syllabus of what is permissible when it comes to our thinking. And it gives us instruction to cast down the things that are contrary to the syllabus of thinking. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 5. Casting down imaginations. Casting down imaginations. Casting down imaginations. This is so important. Discipline thoughts. Discipline thoughts. Discipline thoughts. I remember as a student in school, you find out there are people who are in class. They sit down in the class, their hand is on their paper, their pen is in their hand, and they are looking at the teacher. But after a while, eyes are still open, but mind has traveled. Because the thought cannot be disciplined. And it is so even in church. Not everybody carrying pen and writing is writing what is being taught. Some are writing their name forward, spelling it backward, writing it upward, writing it down. Just carrying out documentation of experiments of no positive consequence. And at the end of the day, what is the problem? The thoughts no longer disciplined. But I pray today that every captivity of the mind be shattered in the name of Jesus. The fourth thing with discipline is discipline talk. Not every word is sayable. First Peter chapter 3 and verse 10. It said here, look at this very closely. First Peter 3 verse 10. It said to us there, it said, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. If it is success that is expected, then it should be success that is declared. Speak right and things will go right. Discipline talk. Discipline talk. What else? Discipline your treasure. So many people are frivolous. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs 13 and verse 20. It said there, Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 20. It said to us, Proverbs 10 and verse 4. It said, he that dealeth with a slack hand becometh poor. He becometh poor that dealeth with a slack hand. Discipline your treasure. Discipline your treasure. This is so important. The word of God tells us that there is treasure and oil to be desired in the dwelling of the wise, but the foolish man spendeth it up. The foolish man spendeth it up. Some years ago, somebody came. I heard God's servant, our father, shared this experience. He said, came to him, entered into the office, and began to explain to him how she needed capital to start her business. And he looked at her, gold everywhere. And he said to her, you are wearing your capital. Your capital is on you now. You are wearing your capital because of lack of discipline in terms of the treasure God has put in our hand. What else? You must discipline your team or your association. Proverbs 13 verse 20. It said, he that walks with the wise shall be wise, but the companion of fools shall be destroyed. 1 Corinthians 15, 33. It said, be not deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Put it this way, evil association damages good destinies. But I see rescue coming for somebody here today. So there is the covenant demand of discipline. What else? Number four covenant demand is diligence. Diligence. If you look at verse 18 of that scripture, it said through slothfulness, it said the house or building decays. Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 18. It said, but through idleness of hands, the house droppeth through. The house in that picture can be described as destiny. Nothing works without someone working. Nothing works without someone working. Proverbs 22 verse 29, it says, seest thou a man diligent in his business, he shall stand before kings, he shall not stand before mere men. He shall stand before kings. So there is a demand for diligence if anyone is going to experience excellence in the journey of life. You cannot dissociate diligence from excellence in destiny. Diligence is a vital necessity. We live in a day and age now where the world is selling the illusion of success without labor. It's an illusion that is being marketed widely in the world. You hear things like, how to make money without working. How to become a millionaire with only 1 hour of labor. Everybody is looking for how to have a shortcut to a great height. It doesn't work. Those who are not ready to work will not see things work. It takes labor for anyone to ascend great heights. I see grace coming upon us for labor in the name of Jesus. Every child of God is created for work. So refusal to walk is a malfunction of destiny. Ephesians 2 verse 10, it said you are God's workmanship, created unto good works. Because of the desire to escape work, you find many people today falling for Ponzi schemes, various, you know, going into fraud, going into all manner of things to escape the channel of work. But today is a day of rescue. Finally, number 5 is sacrifice. Sacrifice. No one can ascend great heights without a great stretch. In Luke 12 verse 49 and 50, he said that I've come to set fire upon the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? But now there is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and I am now stretched or straightened to accomplish it. It takes a great stretch to reach great heights. Stretching here means going beyond your best. No one can succeed from the place of convenience. Success requires inconvenience to press to the place that God has ordained for you. If you look at Jesus, the pattern and example he left for us was an example of stretching. And out of that stretch came the full manifestation of his destiny. I close with this story. We are told of the story of a man, James Owens. He was a track and field athlete. And he asked the coach what it takes to be a success and to become the best. And the coach gave him 4 keys: determination, dedication, discipline, and sacrifice. By engaging those 4 keys, he won 4 gold medals at the Berlin Olympics in Germany in 1936. That Olympics was held in Germany. James Owens was a black man, and Hitler hated every other race, but had to give him the medal because he had given the keys required to ensure his success. Please hear this. No man's discrimination can be a limitation when you engage the covenant keys that have been put in your hand. From today, I see your success becoming a reality. Rise on your feet with me, lift your hand to heaven. Lord, I receive grace to put these keys to work. I receive grace to put these keys to work. I receive grace to put these keys to work. I receive grace to put these keys to work. Lord, I receive the grace to put these keys to work. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name, we have prayed. I see each one of our stars rising from Shiloh. In the name of Jesus Christ. The choir will lead us as we celebrate God in praise.